This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 236 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. And we're coming at you live remote again this week.
Yes.
Because, you know, the world's crazy.
COVID.
Yep.
Yep.
Not that either of us have it.
No, I don't care. I'll say my son had direct contact with a child that tested positive for the COVID. And so we have to quarantine. Because he was around us for 5 days before the school found out about it.
Yeah.
So it's me and all three of my kids and my wife all quarantined the house together for our 14 days, which is coming to an end later this week. No Woo. Symptoms. Everyone's good. No symptoms. I brought my son in for a test last Tuesday, still waiting for the results because it takes 3 to 5 business days. And 5 business days is technically tomorrow.
So we're hoping.
Yeah, but with our no symptoms, I feel pretty positive about it.
Yeah, that is a good sign right there.
You know what else I feel pretty positive about?
What do you feel pretty positive about?
All the motherfucking shows I watched this week.
There were a lot of them this week compared to last week.
I watched a lot because, much like you a couple weeks back, I realized I completely forgot to watch Cobra Kai while we were talking about Cobra Kai. So I did go back and watch episode 4.
It's fun, isn't it? You got to like play along and
yep.
Yeah. You say the right things to make it sound like you watched it.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So I'm back and watched episode 4. Then of course I watched episode 5. We don't need to talk about 4, but episode 5 was interesting. In fact, we got some of Hawk's backstory, you know, how we got, as a kid, how his mom was like, the principal's going to make an announcement not to make fun of your face. And it's like, no, mom, that'll make things worse. That will legit make things worse, you know?
Yeah, pretty much everyone knows that.
Yeah.
That was the worst thing she could have done.
Oh, yeah. And then I met Tori in episode 4.
Yes.
I was a little disappointed. She wasn't wearing a leather jacket and had big, big bangs and curly hair like Tori from Saved by the Bell. But same type of character, you know, comes in to stir things up, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. They got to have that Clearly. Kind of drop.
Yeah. I did not like Hawk and company wrecking Miyagi Dojo and then stealing Mr. Miyagi's Medal of Honor, because I thought that definitely crossed the line. Like, okay, first of all, they didn't just go tag the place with some simple spray paint. They committed breaking and entering, burglary, and because the burglary amount was greater than $5,000, it ups it to a felony. They committed destruction of property that was greater than $5,000 worth of damage. I mean, like, this was absurd, an absurd level. Like, this wasn't like it was this kid's first offense. Well, it could have been, and that he got so carried away, but, like, it was excessive. It was beyond excessive.
I was just going to say, it was definitely beyond excessive. I mean, this, and it was only the three of them. You know, this wasn't like the whole of Cobra Kai decided to take on Miyagi-Do because they had been wronged. They were pissed at their little buddy there. I wanted to say Eli, but that's Hawk's real name. I can't even think of his name. You know who I'm talking about, though.
Dimitri for his bad Yelp review. Dimitri.
Yeah. Yeah. So he didn't even do anything. Yeah. He didn't even do anything to their dojo except for a bad Yelp review. And they're like, this is going to tank us. Well, no, it's not. And, you know, he had a legitimate gripe. He's allowed to do that. And so they actually committed a crime. He posted on social media, they committed a crime.
Crime, yes.
Well, a series of crimes, yes, yes.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, and then, of course, the way that it's left is that, you know, they do this and nobody's around to see it, so Daniel automatically assumes it's Johnny because Johnny's got beef with him, and well, he goes and...
They did spray paint the car Cobra Kai rules or Cobra Kai forever, so, I mean...
Right. So
it is a tip-off that...
And technically speaking, I mean, he is responsible because he's their sensei. So if they're doing something in the name of Cobra Kai and he owns Cobra Kai, then, you know, it is going to come back on him no matter what.
Right. It is. And I understand he has to say face in front of his students and be like, you know, confront Daniel with, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like he did. But I think we need to see in episode 6, he's pulling people aside and be going, what the damn hell?
Right. Well, you saw Hawk's face when he was like, you went over the line by taking the Medal of Honor, and Hawk's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like, stealing the Medal of Honor, that's not... See, that was a visceral over-the-line moment for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also appreciated that, even though she's a ditz, Moon was like, look, this kid made a bad Yelp review, and so you're trying to beat him up, and you're trying to do all this shit? Like, grow up.
Yeah, I know. I did appreciate that as well.
And then he gets all alpha male and he points at his tattoo and he's like, this means forever. And she's like, I didn't ask you to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I like that she didn't stick with him because their relationship started because he was a D-bag.
Yeah. Which all of us, well, okay, me, but I'm sure you had a similar response, which was, oh, come on, really? She's going after the D-bag. Because he's a D-bag? Fuck you.
Right. Yep. So I watched Fargo, of course, and the episode's really heating up. The war between the Fada Italian mob family and the black crime family is really coming to a head with 3 episodes to go still. So
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
No, more than 3 episodes. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, I'm not being sarcastic. It was really good. Yeah, like I'm enjoying this. I've enjoyed every season. Yes, there's slow episodes, but it really is one of those you either like it or you don't shows.
Yeah, absolutely. No, just the way that you were saying it, you're like, oh, the things are really heating up. I couldn't tell if you were like, yeah, it's still slow. But no, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
There's still sincerity in my voice.
Tell me. Because I did watch the initial parts there. Has anybody reckoned with the Italian brother there who was kind of going out on his own and causing shit? Or is he still doing his own thing?
He got a level of comeuppance in episode 5. Yes, he did.
Okay.
No, sorry, episode 6. He most certainly did. Because he's done some even more outlandishly, like, going in it for himself type of thing.
Gotcha.
Basically trying to make a power play to take over the family, but it's not working out for him, for everybody. Just, you know.
Good.
Yeah, but his level of crazy was pretty out there, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of The Queen's Gambit?
I have not, but it keeps telling me to.
Okay, so Kate watched the entire series.
I thought it was a movie. It's a series? Jesus.
It's a series. It's a limited series. I think there's 7 episodes, about an hour apiece. Okay. I watched the first episode. It is very slow, but I did enjoy it.
Okay.
They're calling it a miniseries. It's based on a novel. Okay. I did enjoy it. I think you should give the first episode a watch sometime this week, maybe tomorrow. Tell me if you like it. Well, that way I have time to watch another episode. Tell me if you like it or not.
Okay.
And if you're going to continue to watch it, then we can watch episode 2 as well.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's very interesting. It's about a chess prodigy.
Right.
A little girl at an orphanage who's a chess prodigy.
And it's Anya Taylor-Joy, and I really do like her as an actress.
Well, she plays the adult version, yes. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Kate loved it. She burned right through it. Like, she's laid up in bed and watched it, and like, she's messaging me at like 10 o'clock at night saying like, oh, I need to go to sleep, but I just finished this episode and it's so good, I want to watch another one. Like, she stayed up late. Yeah. Bly Manor.
Yeah, now this is where I'm interested, because your statement at the beginning of this episode was to say that you were very excited about all of the shows that you watched this week. Does that include Bly Manor?
I think if we go back and listen to it, I said we have a lot of shows to talk about
this week. No. You said you were really excited. And I said, yeah.
I'm excited to talk about the shows. I didn't think I said I was excited about that show.
Good thing we've recorded this, because I can go back and check later.
Well, I think you should.
So, does that mean that you were not that impressed?
No, I watched episode 3, and it's like, okay, well, I've watched it. Then I watched episode 4, The Way It Came. I don't know.
It's definitely not as compelling as the first season. Like, I remember the first season that yes, episode 5, the bent-necked woman was the turning point where it was just like, oh my god! But I remember being excited to watch each episode leading up to it.
Like, I enjoyed, yes, the first episode of Haunting of Hill House was very slow. It really picked up the second episode and just kept going. Then episode 5 was just like, oh my god! Like you just said. And then it never really slowed down. It had moments when it dropped off, but it never dropped off that you were like, oh, I don't like this anymore. You know what I mean? And then it finished strong. You know, it finished well. This show, 4 episodes, so goddamn slow. I've already watched half. No, I've watched less than half because there's 9 episodes. It's just,
it's dragging. It's. There's no other way to say it, really. Like, even the stuff that's supposed to be the spooky stuff, like in this episode where, like, she gets drunk and the kids kind of head her off because there's what we assume to be a ghost walking through the living room and they're trying to, like, distract her while the ghost walks through its path. Because it seems like the impression that I got is that this ghost has a path. They see it walk this path regularly. And so they knew that if she happened to be in that room at that time, then they'd run into each other.
Right.
But even that was more like, okay, it's tedious, you know, it's too. And this is the thing. This is not prejudice. But for me personally, I can honestly say after this 4th episode that I have a hard time enjoying stuff when kids are some of the main characters. And again, it's not because I hate kids, just the way that they're portrayed, the way, especially these two kids, the way that they're portrayed, the way that they act, the stiltedness in their voices, it just makes it so much less enjoyable for me.
And I don't mean to be judgmental about clothing, okay? Danny's mom jeans bother me so because no one her age in the 80s wore those. That's why they were fucking called mom jeans, because your mom wore them, you know? Like,
and she's in her 20s.
Right. She's too young to be wearing clothes like that. I did appreciate that we got the backstory of her and Edmund, you know, her childhood friend that she was engaged to, that they broke up and then he stepped out of the vehicle and was killed, which
was
horrible. And then, all right, she's got to go through the funeral and dealing with the family after and pretend like she's devastated because she is. But at the same time, she broke up with him right before he died.
Yeah, and, like seconds before he died.
Yes. And I like the fact that the reason why his eyes are always glowing when she sees him is the reflection of the headlights from the truck right before it hit him in his glasses. Yeah. So it's like, okay, that makes sense. And then if she burned his glasses, I wonder if we're going to see Edmund anymore. She burned his glasses. You know, Supernatural has taught us that you got to, you know, when you burn shit, it ends shit.
Especially if it's their last humanly connection to the world.
Right. So I do appreciate that. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm still that big of a fan.
Well, here's some of the stuff that's bugging me.
All right, go with it.
like I said, you know, the kids really bother me. And again, okay, you could say maybe it's a prejudice, but they're just, it's hard for me to get behind it when these kids are such main characters, but we don't know to what capacity. And their acting is it's stilted. You know, I know they're kids and I know they're supposed to act like it, but that little girl is just creepy as hell, and not in a good way, in more like a this is painful to watch way. And the housekeeper there, we know something is up with her because she never eats or drinks anything. She always has some excuse. She likes to go out to that little rectory and light candles for the dead and pray. You know, we know that there's something there. Maybe she's a ghost, maybe she isn't. But this is the worst kind of slow play in this game. In this show, is the, like, this entire fourth episode, we got the backstory, but it was also that we got the whole funeral of his mom and everything that went along with that, and that people, you know, he didn't want people to go there and she didn't want to go there because she had a bad experience with the funeral recently. And, you know, there was nothing compelling. You know, we're four episodes in and quite frankly, I don't know much of anything except for how her fiance died. And it really bothered me. You had mentioned it the other day that we have a two-part episode that both parts don't take place right after each other.
No, they're episodes 3 and 7.
Yeah. So we get part one, and then we have to go through like 4, 5, and 6. Then we get part two. What the hell is that? Who does that?
I don't know. We know who Peter Quint is, but we don't know how he died. We don't know how or if he's dead. I'm assuming he is. We don't know how Flora died. I'm assuming she's dead. We don't know who the other ghosts are.
We could assume that the brother is dead, and that it seems like at this point that the brother is dead and that Peter is possessing him at times, because when, you know, they had that little outburst at dinner when he was like, I want a fucking drink.
Right. Yeah, that was weird too.
But then you've also got the weirdness of them putting on their little play there where he dresses up like a dummy and she dresses up like a cat. And good God. Oh, no, man. I will get through it no matter what, but holy crap. It's really, it hasn't compelled me yet. Like, I look at this as like a fuck, I guess I got to watch that.
Well, maybe we'll see what happens in the next episode.
Yep. Only 5 more to go. God, that sounds terrible to say.
Yeah, it does. You know, another ghost show I watched this week that was really good was Truth Seekers.
Yes.
Did you watch? You watched the first episode, did you not?
I sure did. And
I expected Simon Pegg to have a bigger character in the show than he does. Of course, we only saw the first episode, but
his hair is pretty big.
Yeah, his hair is pretty big. But no, I really enjoyed the hell out of this.
This was a very British show. Holy crap.
Yes. Yes.
But great.
Yes.
It didn't go overboard, but at the same time, it set up some stuff that's coming down the road. I liked the creepy numbers station that he kept listening to.
Yes, they just said 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
And that's 5. All it's ever said until that kid came along, and then he's like, 5.
Elton John.
I absolutely picture, okay, those number stations right there. I could picture you having like a ham radio and having one of those number stations dialed in.
Probably.
Like maybe later on in life. But
well, you know, let me say this. Definitely back in my teen years. Like in the late 90s, I would have. Yeah. Back when, excuse me, you know, I kind of miss the infancy of the internet. Back when you had more websites that you could believe this. Like if you wanted to search, say, paranormal recordings or UFO sightings or something like that, back in the day, there were so few internet pages that came up or talk groups. You know what I mean? So right. your sources were finite and more believable. Now you do a Google search on it and you get a million results.
Right.
That's not even underestimation. So then it's like, which ones are ad driven? Because everything, like I have a hard time with all these websites that are ad driven because I don't know if they're just trying to get you to click on their page so they can get ad money and make money off it, or if they have real passion about the topic and the subject and they want you to inform you about stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I tend to feel like the less ads that are on a website, the more passion the site developer has for the topic.
It's even deeper than that, too. You're absolutely right. But then you'll also find some of these sites where it's like they might not, you know, they have a couple of ads or something like that. And you're like, okay, they seem to really care about this. But then they'll mix something else in there. And you're like, what's your real agenda? You know, they'll be sitting there, like in this case, they'll be, you know, aliens, 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 UFOs, UFOs, UFOs. And then suddenly they'll add in something along the lines of like, you know, and the aliens are responsible for all the vaccines that are giving people autism. And you're like, whoa, where'd you make the jump? You know, or, you know, UFO, 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 contrails are actually hypnotizing us to buy more stuff from Amazon. You're like, whoa, okay. What's the real message here? But it's like, they'll mix one of those in every four or five regular UFO type stories. And we're just using UFOs as an example, but you know, it's something that I've noticed a lot of lately and it kind of bugs me.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of miss, back in the early days of the internet, these things were, or radio before podcast. Like I love podcasting. Don't get me wrong. Obviously we have a podcast. We're at episode 236 for crying out loud. I've been doing it for over 5 years, but my point is the same scenario of when there was less of it out there, there was more believable. And now that there's so much of it out there, it's hard to determine what's real, what's not real, what is money driven, what is, like you said, conspiracy, like what's, I don't know. You know, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know, I've told you this a couple of times, and I probably mentioned it here on the podcast. You know, I will say to people, oh, I have a podcast. And in the past, you know, 10 years ago, that would have been like, oh, wow, cool. And now people are just like, oh, okay. You know, it doesn't, because everybody has a podcast. There's podcasts everywhere. But when I say, yeah, we're up to 236 episodes, we do a weekly thing. Oh, now. Okay. Yeah. You're not just one of these like. So it's along those lines. Like, yes, anybody has a blog these days. You know, you used to say, I have a blog. And they're like, ooh, let me look it up. Now you say, I have a blog. They're like, you and everybody else, you know?
Yep. Yeah. It's like, that's why none of my blogs, like my wrestling blogs, my biggest one, as far as how many views I get and everything. And five and a half years, I've been posting on it, 5 3/4 years, whatever. And I don't have any ads for a reason. I don't want ads. Obviously I'm not money driven. I probably should be, but it just seems like I already have a job and it seems like an awful lot of work to try to monetize things these days. It's not easy. And it's almost like you have to work twice as hard. You know what I mean? Like you have to work even harder to earn a few cents on something when you monetize it. It's like, that's why I think, because YouTube wrestling is huge on YouTube. I feel like probably between wrestling and gamers, you know, those are the things that are viewed the most. And somehow YouTube came up where they're not going to allow wrestling to be monetized anymore in a way, or they've cut the monetization on it. And I think it's because they're paying out too much money.
Well, not only that, but there's probably a lot of people that own the original rights and they're like, well, fuck that. We're not going to we're not going to let's make money off clips of our wrestling stuff.
Right. But also, but like I'm talking like, for instance, like Limitless Wrestling here in Maine, you know, they have 800,000 subscribers on YouTube. You know, Randy promotes his shows, films his shows. So it's all his footage, and he was making some sweet YouTube money on his footage. And then they said, "Oh yeah, we're not going to do the monetizing sharing rights anymore with wrestling videos." And they gave some reason for it. Like, he's got a couple of videos. He's got multiple videos that have over a million views, but I mean, like, I think one of his videos has like 46 million views now, which is absurd.
That is really absurd, actually.
Yeah. And a couple more have like, but he has many, many, many videos that are well over a million. Like, I think he has over 40 videos that are over 10 million views apiece. So that's a big, that's a chunk of change that they took away.
Well, I also know that along those lines, and I haven't done this in years, but I know that they've changed some of the monetization rules, and there are things like if you have ads in there, like in the middle of a video, that gets you a certain amount of money. If you put them at the beginning of a video, then that gets a certain amount of money, but only if people watch it. If they click skip ad, you don't get anything. Yeah. So that could be hurting him. I know that there's a number of different ways that they can either limit or just deny you the money, because they're like, right. Oh, well, you know, you only did three ads and we needed five.
Yeah. It's like how eBay's fees have increased. Like, essentially doesn't cost you anything practically to post something now on eBay. Like, the insertion fees for a basic post with some extras is free. However, the fee they charge you as a seller when you sell something is, it used to be like 0.5%, 2%. Now it's up to like 10% of every fucking sale on eBay. And if you're selling movies and other stuff, it's higher than that. It's just, it's kind of crazy how much money eBay is making from sellers on these items. Like, I would not be surprised if you saw down the line, on eBay, like, you have, like, where sellers can post something and have the buyer pay the seller's fee. What I mean? Like closing costs on a house. You go to buy a house.
I was just gonna say that. Yep.
You know what I mean? You go to buy a house and it's, you know, $100,000, but you got to pay like $3,000 in closing costs on top of that. And then the seller has closing costs, and you know, you might negotiate a deal where the seller is going to pay the closing costs, or the buyer's paying all the closing costs, or whatever it is. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a download on eBay for high money items like this Hulk Hogan, PSA graded mint 9, 10's the greatest, mint 9 Wrestling All-Stars 1982 trading card just sold for $23,000 on eBay. I wouldn't surprise me if you saw high money items like that, with negotiating that the buyer is going to pay the closer's selling costs, buyer's fee to eBay for that. And then if you accept PayPal takes a chunk as well. And isn't fucking PayPal owned by eBay?
No, eBay owns PayPal.
That's what I meant. Isn't PayPal owned by eBay?
Yeah.
So eBay is, so basically if I sell something on eBay for $100, I'm going to pay eBay like $10 for it. And then I got to pay PayPal like $3 for using their service to sell something. And if that person who buys it damages the product, and this is like, oh no, it arrived broken. In fact, it arrived and they broke it by accident or something. So then they ship it back. And now eBay automatically doesn't even question if the person broke it or not. They just take the money. You know what I mean? They just process the money right back through and take it out of your account. And they don't. And yeah. So tangent over. But boy, I have issues with eBay as a seller. That's why I don't sell on it anymore.
Sounds understandable. I mean,
so
it's a bit of a racket.
So anyhow, so yeah,
truth seekers.
Yeah. So truth seekers, I really enjoyed the hell out of the show. Nick Frost was great as all, you know, great again.
It's an Amazon series.
Yeah.
And he's basically, it's British. So he is their equivalent of like a cable repair guy, but not. It doesn't seem like it. Well, I guess it is strictly Cable because she had a problem with her TV. But yeah,
he installed broadband.
Yeah, yeah, TV, broadband. You know, anything you would get from your Spectrum or Cox, Cox, Charter, all those. And he's got a new kid that apparently this guy doesn't stick to jobs very well because his sister makes some comment about, you know, oh, let me guess, you quit your job on the first day. So the kid doesn't stick around to a lot of jobs. Nick Frost's character lives with his dad, Malcolm McDowell, which was fucking hilarious. The 5 seconds Malcolm McDowell was on screen, he stole the show.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole thing about how he wanted him to wear underwear because he rides that electric chair up and down the stairs and he doesn't want to look at his junk. Yeah. Awesome.
No, and, I thought he was Gus's dad, Nick Frost's yeah. dad.
And some paranormal stuff seems to be happening. And we only get like a glimpse of it in the first episode, but it's good. And there's going to be more. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the future episodes. So I did watch The Return of Superstore.
I did as well. I didn't know if you were going to or not, but I knew I didn't have a lot to watch.
I decided to watch it because when I'm stuck in quarantine, I got all the time in the fucking world to watch shit. So I decided to watch it. And I got to say, with this episode, if the rest of the season is like this episode, I'm actually back on board.
I am too. I'm really hoping that Amy, like, this was the send-off for Amy.
I really think they hit the nail on the head with everything going on with COVID, you know, because the show starts back in March and it's basically like, oh, hey, this is what's happening. Hey, should we be taking precautions? I don't know. And then April, oh, we got to take this. But you know what I mean? Like, it's showing us the progression yes. of how the pandemic hit and how people were in stores and the people refusing to wear masks and people hoarding stuff and on and on and on. And this is the second NBC show, because they talk about it on This Is Us as well, that made a big deal out of Tom Hanks getting COVID.
I noticed that, and I loved it. Yeah. They're like, oh, God, Tom Hanks got the Rona?
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and basically, like, when we left last season, Amy had gotten offered the job out in California. Well, when this season picks up, she hasn't gone there because Corona has derailed that. Basically, you know, everything's up in the air. They have to lock in place. And, you know, so it kind of got derailed. And by the end of this episode, they're ready to fly her out to California and do her thing.
Yep.
It was,
and Jonah's like, we're ready to go. Cause I'm going with you. And she's like, oh yeah. And then they hug and she has a weird look on her face. So maybe Jonah's not going.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that too. You're right. I definitely felt as well. Like, I was kind of trepidatious going into this, and they really did a good job. They made me feel like the old Superstore, you know, which yes. part of that was the creepiness of how much this mirrored between this one and This Is Us. It's always a little creepy when things hit close to home like that. Like, you're yep. watching real life on TV. And so, yeah, this one, I think I messaged you that. I was like, dude, this was a little hard to watch.
Yeah, it was. But they did do it in a nice, humorous way. And then you had the dumb employees that were like COVID mask deniers. And then you had the others that fall to it. And then, of course, Glenn gets sneezed in the face by that guy. He takes his mask off to sneeze and he sees right in Glenn's face. And then, you know, now Dina's hosing him down. And it's just, the whole thing was hilarious. And then, like,
front office. Guard post.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Clay. I got a new nozzle. I've been dying to try it. And then, like, you know, you have the headquarters saying that, you know, they're heroes too. And, you know, Glenn and Dina are just like, we're just heroes. You don't have to call me a hero. I'm just doing my job. Yeah, I didn't call you a hero, you know, or the scene where they have the employee stocking shelves. So she sets a can of, like, SpaghettiOs on the shelf, and the customer immediately grabs and throws it in her cart. And then she sets another can up. She grabs that can, throws it in her cart. I thought that was hilarious. Like, you know, they do those little quick things. Uh-huh. Like, so
I loved that, like, Marcus was pretty much missing from most of this. because Jonah was like, you know, yeah, Marcus didn't do the quarantine thing, and he's now got to be quarantined. Anybody here who hung out with Marcus? And he like pauses. And he goes, I know. I just had to ask.
Yeah, Marcus went to that party and he got COVID, so he has to, you know, he's at home recovering. Anyone that was with him, like, yeah, okay. I thought that was awesome as well. And then I liked who's the guy in the wheelchair? I can't think of his name.
Oh, shit! If you hadn't said it, yeah. Garrett.
Garrett's doing the announcements over the thing, and he's like, "No one's actually listening to me, are you? Whatever, then." Or you can't take certain returns, and he's like. And so he's got the bath sheet up. Oh, you can't pass it through. Guess you got to keep it.
I love too. The one thing that made Glenn lose his absolute shit was when that one Karen went off on him, and she was like, "You're working for Satan, aren't you?" He's like, "That is the one person that I would never work for."
Yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah, it was good. I like
Satan. He likes Jesus. All right, Soulmates.
Yeah, so you watch this.
I watched the first four episodes. And I gotta say, after episode three, I was really like, I hope the context of this show changed. Because basically what I'm getting from this show is someone meets their soulmate, and then they break off whatever relationship they're in and goes with their soulmate.
Yeah, they definitely had a theme going there.
Until episode,
I was gonna say they did different twists on it, you know, like in the second episode with the professor and that girl, you know, so they had creative ways to do it. But you're right, I feel like the overarching narrative is don't believe in soulmates, believe in your gut, you know, you don't have a predetermined true love out there,
right? So like episode one, because there's only six episodes, right? Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
I think there's only going to be six. Maybe there's going to be more. I don't know. So episode one you already talked about that one.
Yes.
So episode two is about the college professor. And basically this girl approaches him and says, "Hey, I hacked into Soul Connect. I found my match." She gives him this song and dance about how, you know, there's someone out there that matched with her and she can't know it. And it just bothered her all the time because she can't know who her soulmate is, et cetera, et cetera. So the long and the short of it, the professor back in the day had a relationship with a student when he was at a previous college, and that relationship ended and that student ended up taking their own life. Now, he didn't know this. And that student took her own life down the line, not straight away, but like a little bit later. In the interim, he meets his wife. They get married. He gets another teaching job at this college. And he is up for tenure because his father-in-law is the head of the college or the dean, and he's retiring or whatever it is. And this girl, Allison, comes along, whose real name is Jody. Allison comes along. Whose real name is Jody, as it turns out. And basically, like I said, lies how she hacked into Soul Connect to find the match, to find him, and then kind of pressures him into a relationship, and then shows up at his house one day to meet his wife, and then they end up sleeping together, and then he lures her to the hotel again, but then sends a student. And the student's like, "You sent me pictures. I sent you pictures." And he's like, "No, I never sent you any pictures," because she cloned his phone and was sending pictures to this girl. And so she was sending them back. She had a crush on him. And all this stuff happened. And then basically he finds out that this is the girl that killed herself. This is her sister. And she's tracked him down because she wants to ruin his life, much like her sister's life was ruined, because she blames him for her sister's death. And he goes and confronts her at a hotel and takes the phone. And yeah, he attacks her because he's angry. I'm not justifying his actions, right. But she's refusing to delete the photos and she's refusing to do anything other than ruin his life. And he claims he's innocent of these charges she's laid upon him. And she's like, "No, you're not." And then she basically wrecks his life anyways by sending a video to his wife of him confronting her in the bedroom and posting it in his classroom and on and on and on. And realistically, in my opinion, in this one, I think she's the villain.
Mm-hmm.
She was looking for someone to blame for her sister's suicide. And David is kind of like the innocent guy that got kind of fucked over pretty hard.
Yeah, because even by her admission, when they had their affair, it was in college. So her sister was definitely of age. So you can't say that she was underage. Some may make the argument that he took advantage of her because he was in a teacher's position. So it's like a position of power. But then he broke up with her and she decided to kill herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, as the facts are laid out there, I would agree that, you know, this guy was not the villain in this case. You know, it was a shitty situation and it really sucks and he's got to live with that. But at the same time, he didn't send her a thing and say, you should kill yourself or anything like that. So,
no. But, and he did cheat on his wife with this girl. Yes. But
he he's definitely guilty there. Soulmates.
He thought they were soulmates. And so that kind of, she played off that as well. But yeah, he was a piece of shit because he cheated on his wife. Yep. Episode 3, you have a married couple and a kind of an open relationship. And then the wife had filled out apparently her soul connect years ago and forgot about it. And then there's a match. And
let's qualify the open relationship here, because it seemed to me in every respect that the open aspect of this relationship was that the woman wanted her man to be happy, so she would arrange for other women to have sex with him. It wasn't like she was going out on dates herself. She was arranging for these women.
She was. They were both meeting people on this app, a dating app, and hooking up with other people.
I didn't get that. I thought she was just arranging it for him.
No. They were both doing it.
Okay.
And it was her idea. That was the other thing. It was her idea. They can't go on a date with someone more than once. It's a one time, one hookup, one and done type of thing. And then her soulmate shows up and it's a woman. And they all kind of get along. And so he's kind of getting along to go along. And she is. The wife is basically ends up like, oh, we should try to get a couple together. Like, you know. Essentially, so he brings home this couple so they can have a foursome or wife swap or whatever, and he catches her having sex with her soulmate, and he had said, you cannot have sex with her because that's your soulmate. That's beyond just a simple hookup. Like, you can't do this.
Right.
And for all intents and purposes, it'll
ruin everything that we have.
Yeah. And all intents and purposes, he got along with her as well.
Almost too well. Like she was his buddy.
Yeah. And then the wife was kind of getting jealous. And when they're talking and he like through conversations of showing him like their wedding picture. And she's like, why'd you throw it in her face like that? Like the wife was being kind of uppity about it and rude. And he's like, no, I didn't. He's like, it's like you just marked your territory by showing our wedding picture. And he was like, no, I didn't. She asked. I showed it to her. You wanted me to get along because like have to have a little respect. And he was like, no, I have respect. Everything we've done is because you've wanted to do it. And I've gone along with it. You know, this hooking up with other people, you know, you getting to know your soulmate, on and on and on. You asking me to get along with her and be nice. I'm doing all that for you, for respect for you. So I thought that was good. He stood up for himself and she tried to twist it on him. But ultimately, But ultimately they break up. She goes off to the soulmate. Yeah.
Yep. She slept with her soulmate and he was like, no, that's going to ruin things. And so he stuck to that and they break up and she finds out that again, another one of these, I don't know if it's preachy or if it's just supposed to be like the writer's view on things, but they're like, oh, you know, this is your soulmate, but you're completely, they're not really opposites, but they kind of are. Like the woman that she met wants to party all the time and she wants to be young and fun and vibrant. And this girl that we've been following just wants a quiet life and, you know, to just kind of relax most nights. She doesn't mind going out, but she kind of wants to be more chill and have it just be the two of them. And her soulmate's like, no, I want groups of people and I want people over at the house all the time. And so it's not paradise.
No, because at the same, and then when I couldn't stand her accent either, Libby, could not stand her accent, the wife. When she gets sick, and her soulmate's not as nurturing as her husband is, you know, she was upset about that. So Libby and her husband, they meet back up, and she basically like, hey, I made a mistake. I want this to work, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, well, I took the test, and I found my soulmate, and she's flying over from England now. And I thought the ending was funny when he opened the door, and then, hi, this is my wife, you know, Libby. And then this is her soulmate, Miranda. Hi, you know. And anyways, here's the deal. This is my wife. We love each other. We get along. And this is her soulmate. And they get along and we get along. So would you be interested in joining our foursome?
Yeah.
You know? And if you want to leave, we completely understand. And she's just like, well, how about we have coffee first?
Yeah. Well, that seems a little upbeat. This woman was like, can we start with a coffee? Because, I mean, yeah. In actuality, they ambushed her. Like, she thought she was coming over to meet just him. And he's like, oh, so this is unexpected. But here's two other women. One is my wife. One is her soulmate. We all get along. And so, yeah, we're going to spring this on you now. For
different reasons.
Yeah.
So, and then the last episode is a guy in Mexico. And he is on his way to Colombia to meet his soulmate. And he runs into this other guy, Miguel, who kind of sleep. They're gay and they sleep together. And then he steals his passport and on and on and on. And then they go on this wacky adventure trying to get his passport back and all this crazy shit happens. And essentially it kind of ends with them staying together. Like, he doesn't go on to meet his soulmate. He changes his mind instead and is like, you know what? I thought I need my soulmate to complete me, but maybe I don't.
Yeah.
So again,
I was going to say, this was my least favorite episode out of all of them, because it really, it was more like it wanted to be an action movie, but it wasn't really, you know, and there was so much intrigue and, you know, who's got the passport? And then it's this woman here and she works in the underground and blah, blah, blah. So they wanted to be like a spy born identity kind of thing, but it really was weak. And secondly, yeah, what you were about to say, I'm sure, is once again, we've got a message that's don't believe in soulmates.
Yes. Yes. For a show that is all about a technology that helps you find your perfect soulmate, we have actually yet to see anyone find their perfect soulmate that's perfect in every way.
Yeah. It'd be like if they made a show about clones and perfecting the art of clone making, and then all the clones were terrible, evil, and, you know, they were basically trying to say, don't do cloning because it's the devil's work. And, yeah, it almost feels like propaganda against soulmates.
It really does, doesn't it?
So we've got, what, two episodes left, and I'll be interested to see if they continue this trend.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. I've enjoyed it so far. Supernatural.
Yes.
Episode 17, Unity. The show continues to just can't wait for it to end.
I gotta say that a lot of the oomph of this episode was lost when I saw that there were three more episodes, because, you know, they try to build it up in the beginning with, oh, here comes the grand showdown. It's time. We've got to get, what's his name? Adam or no, Adam. We met Adam.
No, not Adam. Jack.
Jack. Yeah, we've got to get Jack ready because it's time and God's here and Amara saw comets in the sky and that means God's here. So it's time and we're ready. And, you know, they lead you to believe that there's going to be the big showdown. There's three more episodes. No, it's not going to happen tonight.
No, yeah, exactly. Chuck convinces Amara to join together and basically he's playing her. Apparently this whole thing of Jack getting Adam's rib, because it's Adam from Adam and Eve, and he's apparently hooked up with an angel. So that Serafina. Way he can become, yeah. So he can, his soul and grace will turn into a black hole that will suck in anything divine, including Chuck and Amar, and that's how they're going to destroy everything, and Adam and Jack's going to die and everything. But then we find out Death has been orchestrating all of this because Death wants to take over as God and make everything the way it should be. So if you're dead, you're dead. If you're on another place, if you're supposed to be on another world, then you get sent back to that world, even if it doesn't exist anymore. I mean, on and on and on. So, you know, of course, and then Dean, and then Chuck also apparently orchestrated all of this, because his last play, the perfect storytelling, was Dean was going to kill Sam to get Jack to go try to kill God and his sister. And just like you said, there's three episodes left, so you know it's not going to happen in this episode. Then we're going to get three happy episodes.
Also, it really bothers me. I thought of something today, but first I'm just going to say this. Yeah. It bothers me that death is not death. Death is Billy.
Yeah.
Billy wants to take over. Billy. No, just let it be death. When we had the Horseman of the Apocalypse, death was death. Death didn't have a name. He wasn't George. He was death. But now Billy is death. Why?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Yeah, because death is dead. I get what you're saying.
Wait, death is dead? Because death as a Horseman of the Apocalypse made this big old speech where he basically said, when at the end, I will reap God.
Yeah, no. Well, no, because death is... So the Grim Reaper is dead. Well, okay, so Billy's a reaper. Billy's the head of the reapers. So Billy's not death. Sorry.
Okay.
Billy's not death. Billy's the head of the reapers, because the head of the reapers got reaped by God or death or something, and so Billy is now the head of the reapers.
Yeah, and then we've what is it? The empty or the hollow empty. Or the empty?
The empty. Yeah.
That kind of stuff is confusing me. But here's what I realized today, because I was watching this as I walked, because I was like, oh crap, I got to remember to watch Supernatural. So I was walking and watching the episode, and I realized that the best part for me of Supernatural wasn't necessarily the Winchesters. It was the fact that we had this whole world that was built around the idea of monsters, ghosts, you know, urban legends. And it wasn't just this family that fought them. There were hunters all around. You know, you had Joe and Ellen, you had Rufus, you had Bobby, you had a network of contacts. And it really gave this whole, like, it made the whole thing feel more real, and it made it feel like, you know, something that you could aspire to. Like, half the fun of watching stuff like this, for me at least, is to think, oh, that could be real. You know, that could happen today. You can't really do that with like a Marvel movie. You enjoy that right, for a different reason, but you don't sit there and go, oh boy, I could swing from webs and you know, build a rocket powered suit. It doesn't really happen that way. But something like this, it was really fun to think about all the ghosts and UFOs and urban legends. And even when we started getting into the gods aspect of it, you know, they had pantheons and they had the tricksters and, you know, they had the Norse gods. And it was really cool the way that they did it, because, again, you had the whole world of hunters and beasts and demons. And then it just started getting too meta and too high level, because they really ran with the whole idea of angels and God and devils, and they kind of passed by all the rest of it and passed by most of the other hunters. You know, they either killed them off or just kind of had them disappear off screen. And now it's, even when they tried to bring it back with the Men of Numbers, well, okay, a secret organization does the same thing. Yeah, there you go. The secret organization does the same thing as hunters, except they're all dead and gone. You know, unless they need to bring one back for an episode for a spinoff type thing. But, you know, again, it's just the Winchesters. They're the only ones left. That's my rant.
Ah, it's a good rant. It's a good rant. I'm right there with you. I really am right there with you. We got three episodes left. I'm going to watch it. I've watched every fucking episode of the show, of all 15 seasons. I'm going to finish it. But, yeah, well, I'm right there with you.
Here's an interesting counter to that, because I've been talking with a person recently, a friend of mine, and she was saying that all the reasons that I'm saying, you know, oh, Supernatural is just the same and blah, 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 those are all the reasons she loves it, because it's always been a staple for her and it's always been something that's brought her a lot of joy and a lot of comfort. So she's okay with it being like that because that's what she likes about it. And, you know, that's cool. That's great. There are people out there. I mean, Leah, I'm sure, still loves this thing to death.
Oh, I'm really curious what she thinks, quite frankly.
You could reach out to her.
Yeah, I probably
got her Facebook infos.
Yep. I probably will. So
Good. But so, yeah, that's the thing is, just, you know, our opinions aren't the be all end all. We've seen that a few times, but yeah, so it's not working for us. I know it's working for some people out there, so cool.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The Connors was good. They're still dealing with COVID in a very humorous way. I enjoy and appreciate the show.
Excellent. I'm trying to think. I don't think that I watched any shows this week that you don't watch.
This Is Us, episodes 1 and 2, entitled 40.
Yep.
There is no episode on this week because it airs Tuesdays, and, you know, there's
something going on Tuesday. Tuesday.
Yep. You know, a little something dominating the airwaves Tuesday night. Yep. So what'd you think of This Is Us this season, this first episodes 1 and 2? They're dealing with COVID, and they're hitting pretty hard to home with COVID, you know. I did appreciate the very beginning where you have Randall, and he goes, well, you know, he kind of sums it up. Mom's not in the trial because of the pandemic. How was, I guess that was worth it.
Yep.
Summed up the big fight, everything going on. But I did like the fact that they addressed, hey, she's not in the trial because she can't be because of the pandemic. And you know they had no way of knowing this. So whatever they had written for her being at this hospital on and on, they decided just to scrap it because of the pandemic. So right. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, they literally, and Superstore, I'll give them credit as well. Same thing. You know, they really ran with it. Just to derail for a second here, I've been seeing commercials. The Good Doctor comes back this week.
Oh, really?
Next week. And they're also dealing with it, which kind of puts me a little on edge because Sean's neurotic as it is. I mean, he's autistic. I know there's a difference. But, you know, his mentality doesn't serve this very well. Like, he's not dealing with it very well. So, but yeah, I really appreciate how both so far Superstore and This Is Us took ideas that they had and said, we've got to adjust on the fly.
I think I gave up on The Good Doctor last year.
Yeah, I think I did too.
Near the end of the season, but it's got some really strong numbers. People really like that show.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at the season finale as a 7.71 last year.
Damn.
Did someone die last year?
I don't know. I think I gave up too.
See, I Love You, episode 20. Lemon Park surgery on Casey fails. Park remains with Casey, reveals he blames himself for his mother's death, wants to make amends with his father for his perceived mistake. I thought someone died. Like, I thought I remember reading, like, someone died.
I know that Sean and his roommate there are together now.
Yes.
But it looks like in the previews,
how much he loves Sean's after nearly losing him.
Yeah. And it looks like in the previews that they are in different areas, so they have to do video conferencing and she can't be there with him, and that's kind of driving him a little nuts too.
Yeah. See, I think someone dies.
Okay. Well, while you're looking that up, I'll say that I did enjoy this.
Melendez.
Who?
Melendez dies.
Oh, really? Of yeah. What?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember who Melendez is. This is great. You keep going. I'm going to look this up.
So, yes, I did really like This Is Us. It was nice having it back. I've loved this show since the beginning. You know, the writing on it is great. The characters are great. But it was, again, jarring seeing them deal with the same stuff that we're all dealing with in real life. Because a lot of times you want to watch these shows to escape. You know, you want to forget about what's going on in the world. And you want to just enjoy it. Like Supernatural would be a whole lot different if werewolves were attacking the world. You know, it would have very different feel to it. But it's still, as jarring as it is, I'd still rather see them tackle it and acknowledge it like this than pretend like it's not happening. You know, this is something that if people 10 years from now go back and watch This Is Us, you know, they're like, oh, I really love this show. Let's go back and watch it. They're going to see COVID happening. And yeah, it'll be, oh, yeah, I remember that was a thing back then. you know, well, now we have blah, blah, blah.
The two episodes really merged together pretty hard for me.
Really hard. Like, I didn't even realize that I was at the end, except for that, you know, in true This Is Us fashion, the end of the second episode sets up the entire season with a big old, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yes, Randall's mother is still alive.
Or she was at the end of that.
Well, that's what I mean. At the end of, like, yes, we thought Randall's mother died from an overdose, but we see at the end she still has a pulse. So yes. She's still alive at the end of that. Maybe she's dead now. Who knows?
But my mom posed good.
Go ahead.
My mom posed a good question. What if that's going to end up being his new therapist that he finds?
Oh, shit. That'd be interesting.
Yep.
So I don't know how we want to tackle this. I don't know if we want to give it a deep dive, but basically I'm going to hit the high points for me.
Just hit the high points.
They're dealing with COVID pretty realistically. They're also dealing with George Floyd's death.
Yes.
I think it's very interesting that we're seeing that whole aspect from Randall's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a flashback of, because Randall brings up the point, this isn't the first time it's happened, you know?
Right.
And he's estranged from his brother and sister still in this episode, but I think it's for different reasons than they intended. Before pandemic and everything.
Right.
I think it's interesting how, like, they go back to the history, and I didn't look this up if it happened again, but they talked about it was a football player's brother, I think it was killed by the police.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that on the news, and he dealt with it by himself as, like, a 10 or 12-year-old kid because, you know, he couldn't talk to his family about that, and his family didn't talk to him about it. And when right. his sister keeps saying, like, I'm sorry, Randall, and he's like, why are you sorry? What is it you're sorry about?
Specifically. You know? Yeah, he wants to know specifics, like, because and otherwise it's just a platitude.
Right. She's kind of sorry that it happened, and he's black, so it must affect him more. I think that's what it is. And I like the fact that because of COVID, they couldn't hug. They weren't hugging right. each other. They were staying away from each other. They were doing what they were supposed to do to be a good example for all the fucking knuckleheads out there. Who are yes. deniers and misbelievers, and I'm going to live my life. Anyways, I don't want to go down that road.
I know.
So what?
I said, I hear you. Trust me. I'll talk about that more later.
So I did enjoy that. I yes. enjoy
yeah, how like they... when Kevin announces that she's pregnant with twins. You know, and yeah. they have to do it on the front lawn, separated from each other. And then, you know, Kate's even like, I think this needs an air hug. And yeah.
Oh, God. Toby stole that scene with his like, what kind of big news you got to tell us? Would you knock someone up, Kevin? Huh? Is that what happened? Why is He's Madison like, getting out of the car, Kevin? Kevin, why is Madison getting out of the car? Did you get Madison pregnant, Kevin? Like, I loved Toby's reaction to the whole thing.
Yeah. That was, and then Kevin's like, well, Toby, thanks.
Yeah. It's twins. So, yeah. I enjoyed the hell out of that. I love the neighbor standing outside.
Yes.
Get them air hug each other. Kevin just goes, I'm going to be a dad. We're having twins. And he just goes, great. I don't know. That was basically a cameo, and it was hilarious to me.
It was awesome. Love him.
But, no, I thought they did a great job with the show. We got to see the tie-in of Mom getting lost. Remember last season? She got lost. She went to the restaurant. The cops had to bring her home. We got to see how that tied into it. So that was cool.
And we got to get the explanation there of poison ivy, mixing meds.
Yes.
I like that aspect of it because that is realistic. Oh, that's something that most people who have had experience with medicine would know.
Right. And that's how she had her spell because she forgot she couldn't take it. Miguel didn't know she took it.
Right.
That's why she had that spell. And if that, you know, so I thought it was, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the episodes. I thought they were good. I thought they were heavy though.
They were
really heavy at times. Like, Randall talking to Deja's boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
you know, and talking about things to him that he's never talked to anyone about. And that's what makes him realize that he needs a black therapist.
Yes. And But even at the end with Deja's boyfriend, you know, he was able to bring it back to kind of funny. You know, he was like, hey,
yes,
I could either be your friend or I can be your girlfriend's father. But I can't be both. Choose, but know that I have a car.
Yeah, know that I can drive. Ah, there's the dad joke I've been waiting for, you know, because he's like, yep. Randall, are you okay? Why would I not be okay? Well, because you usually lay some lame dad joke on me by now and you haven't. And
yep.
You just, yeah, I thought that was hilarious. So
and I like that they even slipped in the things that you were expecting. Like, you know, she said Deja's boyfriend is coming over. It's their 1 year anniversary. He has been actively quarantining. He's safe.
Yeah. For 2 weeks. So he can come over. Yeah. No, because I'm familiar. Like there's these rustling couple I'm familiar with. She lives here in the States. He lives in Canada. And when this whole lockdown happened, he was actually in Japan rustling. And he managed to get home to Canada, but the border's been closed this whole time. So that, like, that sucks for them, in my opinion.
It does. Yeah, holy crap.
Yeah, that really sucks for them, in my opinion. So let's see. So This Is Us, we covered.
I almost two other shows, unless I'm missing something.
What's the two shows you have?
Utopia and The Mandalorian.
Yeah. So Utopia episode 6. I think we should wait to the end of the episode to talk about Mando, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So Utopia episode 6. I think this was the best episode so far. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of it?
I liked it. If for nothing else, that we found out that Arby's name literally comes from the fact that he loved raisins, so they called him Raisin Boy, or RB for short.
Yep.
Like, that was the extent of it. That was how much they cared about this kid. And that is a lot of sarcasm in my voice. You know,
oh, no, I picked up on it, yeah.
He's getting the understanding. Like, everybody else seems to be fine. Like, the guy who played Nigma in Gotham, who's, like, the right-hand man of John Cusack, and then the two twins there. Like, they all seem to be very comfortable with the fact that they were created for, you know, evil purposes. And Arby's starting to come around to, nope, I'm not okay with this.
Yeah, I enjoyed that as well. Jessica Hyde continue. There is not a single character on this show that has any redeeming qualities whatsoever so far. Except Alice, the little girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sincerely, like, none of them do.
They're not great people. You're right.
No. You know, you have like the girl who was saved with the crow fingers, you know, cause they had twins and they killed one and then they had her fake, you know, the blood type and all that other shit for Dr. Mike's cure or vaccine, whatever, you know, that dad goes off and kills himself cause he can't live with what they've done and what's going on and what he's done. I liked it when, you know, like John, the guy says, well, you told me that he was stable. Well, I guess we were all wrong there, weren't we? You know, like,
yeah,
there's really isn't. I mean, you know, just all the people, I don't know. There's only two episodes left. You got to finish.
Yeah, Rainn Wilson, who's essentially going insane. It looks like he's going insane and his wife's trying to stop him from it. But then at the end of the episode, right. Yeah, he's absolutely right. But at the end of the episode, what do you think? Did she clock him on the head because she's working with John Cusack or just because she wants to stop him from, you know, going mad like this and ending up back in the asylum?
No, I think she's working with John Cusack. I think from the beginning, she has been working for John Cusack, their whole relationship. I think that's what we're going to find.
That's where I was going as well, but it almost seems too cliched. That's why I was wondering. But,
you know what? Yeah. The way the show is going wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me whatsoever.
Right.
With only two episodes left, we just want to watch both and get them done, or do we want to watch one this week, one next week type of thing?
No, let's watch them both and get it done.
Okay. I'm happy with that as well.
That seems to be our modus operandi for a lot of these shows, so why not stick with it?
Okay. So The only show we have left to talk about is Mandalorian. So, movies. Did you watch any movies?
I watched two movies. What about yourself?
Eight.
Jesus Christ, start talking.
Ugh, I'm not going to go deep dive in most of them. I watched Halloween 1978 part in Halloween 2 1981 on Halloween night.
Season of the Witch.
I watched Season of the Witch. Sorry, nine movies. I watched Season of the Witch. I watched 4 and 5 last week. I watched part 6. And then I watched, which I had the producer's cut, so a little bit of extra footage in there, which still made no fucking sense. And then I watched H2O. So I did not bother to watch Resurrection because I just didn't feel the need. So I watched a bunch of Halloween flicks. Kate wanted to watch The Birds, and I haven't seen The Birds in forever, so we watched The Birds. That's a good flick. And then I watched Ernest Scared Stupid.
You're talking the
kids.
Old
1962.
Talking the old Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. 1962 and 1963 movie. Yes. Still holds up. It's a good flick. And then I watched Ernest Scared Stupid with the kids. And it's Ernest. You know, holds up still. I did watch two other new movies though. New to me movies this week.
Okay. Let's hear them.
First one is a Hulu original, I think. It's called Bad Hair.
Oh, yeah. I can see the previews to that one. Is it any good?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was different, but I enjoyed it. Basically, a girl gets to... You know, you ever seen a movie where someone gets like a body part from someone else, whether it be eyes or an arm or something like that, and it starts to take them over and it's evil?
Only like all the time.
Right, right. That's what this movie is, except it's a weave.
Nice.
So it's bad hair. So you should watch it. I'll keep it on the list of to talk about, but you should watch it. I liked it. Good. Not the greatest movie in the world.
At least one good sell, but.
Huh?
I was waiting for at least one good sell.
Yeah. No, it's again, it's not the greatest movie in the world by any means, but it's an enjoyable film and it was well done, well acted. Story's decent. I liked it. What's the movie you watched?
I watched the Netflix original Holiday.
Oh, yeah, that's something Kate and I are going to watch this week, probably. How was it?
Okay, I won't go into deep details. I will say this. It was highly enjoyable. It was a rom-com, and it basically hit every rom-com note that exists out there. So if you want a nice rom-com, you're gonna like it. It was good. It was funny. It was sweet. You know everything that's gonna happen, but it's still enjoyable. So yep, I give it a hard sell if you like a good rom-com, a good sappy, silly, funny rom-com.
What was your other movie?
The other one that I watched, and this is where I said that I would talk about this later. There's a Hulu original documentary that came out that's called Totally Under Control.
And I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen that pop up.
It was independently produced and created without government sanctioning or without the government, basically without Trump knowing about it, and stealth released so that he couldn't do anything about it. And it's hard to watch in certain places, but it essentially is a timeline that starts with, you know, the first infection over in China that they had recorded. And then it goes through, and like sometimes they actually have a ticker at the bottom of the screen that'll show you like January 7th, February 8th. So it'll tell you essentially, you know, what was going on, what the US did, and how the government failed us, you know, how the Trump administration, you know, fired people, refuse to do this, fuck this up.
I mean, like he announced he's going to fire Fauci if he's reelected?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they didn't have that.
Yes. No, he just said that yesterday in one of his fucking rallies of 30,000 people. That's basically a super spreader. Anyway, sorry.
And then retweeted it. But yeah, it doesn't just focus on America, because it also shows like what South Korea was doing and what Vietnam was doing and Thailand and some of these other places, like how they were handling it better than us. and yeah. you know, comparing that kind of stuff. It's good. It again, it's hard to watch, but they've got a lot of people involved in the process. A lot of people who were there. I can't remember any of the names, but you know, they're people that you saw in like Senate hearings and people who got fired because they spoke up against Trump. And yeah, it's rough to watch. And like good documentaries will always give you like a little bit at the very end. And this one, it's just like a black screen with white text that just says the day after this was finished being produced, President Trump tested positive, announced that he had tested positive for COVID-19. And then it just goes right into credits. So
I don't know if I believe he actually got it.
I don't know either. That is a whole other rabbit hole. Yeah. But I do know that the numbers say right now that, like you were saying, his rallies are responsible for more deaths and infections than any other gatherings. So
I watched the movie Hunt on Shudder.
Okay.
The Pride's Corner Drive-In actually screened this on Friday the 30th. I knew they were screening it, but I hadn't really heard of it. Apparently it came out last year, kind of made the rounds last year. It's on Shudder. It's a haunted house movie, if you will.
Okay.
With a huge
wait twist. A minute. If you say if you will, then
well, it's not really like a haunted house, like House on Haunted Hill. It's a haunted house in respect to like a Halloween haunted house that you walk through to get scared at.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, that type of haunted house. It was really good. I enjoyed it. It was a different take on it. Yes, we've seen other haunted house movies. Haunted funhouse movies, how's there where there's killers inside and everything. So this was their version of it. I thought they did a good job with it. I enjoyed it. If you still have Shudder, you should definitely go check it out, even though Halloween's over. You can't, you know, there's nothing that says you can only watch horror movies during Halloween. So
absolutely.
I liked it a lot. I'm gonna give it a good sell.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not gonna ruin it because it's been out a long time. But it's only been on, I think it only went to Shudder in September, maybe early October. So it hasn't been out on that in quite a while, you know, like for a long time.
Right.
Do you still have Shudder? Or did you, because well, you had told me that you did.
I signed up to cancel it. And yep. They said, you know, oh, we don't want to see you go. What if we give you a free week? And I'm like, just go fuck yourselves. And they're like, okay, you've unsubscribed. So I don't know if it's one of those you've unsubscribed and you still have it until the next billing cycle or
typically, yes, you're unsubscribed to the end of your billing cycle.
That's what I figured. So I might still have it.
Actually, it has been on Shudder for a year.
Damn.
It's been on Shudder for a year and it's ranked number one. It's their number one most watched premiere movie of 2019. And it's got a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. So.
Damn.
So again, but I haven't had Shudder in quite a while and I don't remember seeing it pop up, but it's been like, I've seen it everywhere recently, probably because of Halloween. People are watching horror movies more than they typically do, but I don't know. Right. It's worth checking out. If you still have Shudder, it's worth checking out.
Cool.
All right. I don't remember any news or trailers that I shared with you. Nothing's coming to mind.
I think all the trailers that I have listed, I have six of them and they were all ones that I shared with you.
Yes, I don't think I shared anything with you. So sure. What you got? Well, I didn't see any.
The first one is probably the one that I was most excited about, the first trailer, which was Arcade Dreams, which is that Kickstarter series.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
Yeah, it's one of the few that I would think about actually adding to the Kickstarter, but it's going to be a documentary series about arcades, pinball, you know, all of it. And
going all the way back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Really cool. Not just the 80s, but going all the way back to like the first pinball type machines that were kind of like that people played gambling and, you know, how people destroyed them because it was going to be the downfall and all this other shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's basically you know, it's going to be a series, but the fact that they're kickstarting it tells me that they've got a lot to do, a lot of info, and, you know, that they've got a plan. So,
yeah,
that'll be cool. The next one is a Netflix movie coming out called The Midnight Sky. I liked your comments on this one.
Including one, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, basically it's George Clooney, and he's living, it looks like it's South Pole, but I think we're supposed to be believing that this is what Earth looks like now. And it's
it is in the Arctic?
Okay.
Yep, he is in the Arctic, yep.
Okay. So he and his daughter, something about there were astronauts who went out into space to find a place for Earth, you know, a new place to habitate, and some of them are coming back, and he needs to get a warning to them about what has happened on the planet. They won't say what's happened on the planet, but he says they can't come down here. We need to warn them. And it looks like a, you know, I don't know, what would it be like? I'm trying to think of the name of it. The Day After Tomorrow, you know, trying to get to the place where they could send the signal to them across the Arctic. And yeah, it looks pretty good. Did I lose you?
What was that? Sorry, I accidentally muted myself. What was that?
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I'm talking to you.
I think it looks good. You think it looks good?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I watched the trailer and I had no fucking clue what it was about, other than they appeared to be in ice and snow, but also in outer space, and George Clooney was in it, and the trailer looked really good, so I did go look up to see what's the synopsis of this, and yeah, you've summarized it, what it is, so I'm looking forward to it. It comes out like 23rd or the 17th of December, something like that.
Nice. There was one trailer that you saved me. I like going back through the Facebook messaging to see, because that's where we always send them. It's the only thing that I like about Facebook, literally.
It's been such a long freaking week.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad that you had reminded me about Cobra Kai, because I watched that right at the beginning of the week. You sent me the newest trailer for Saved by the Bell reboot.
Oh, okay. I actually thought you sent that to me, but maybe someone else sent it to me and I sent it to you. But this actually makes it look watchable, in my opinion. Like, it's better than any other trailers we've seen. Whereas the previous trailers were really only appealing to previous fans of the Saved by the Bell, this one could actually maybe lure new fans in. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you're not going to watch it. On it. Yep.
I was never a big fan of the original. It wasn't my time, I guess. But yeah.
No, I watched the original Saved by the Bell. I watched the college years, and I only watched a few episodes of the New Class, but I was never a New Class fan.
I was none of those. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Then we got a new trailer for Halloween Kills.
Yeah, you know, fuck, 47 weeks to go now till it's out.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I believe that they put that in the trailer.
Yeah. So it's just, like, I'm excited we're still getting the movie, but it's clearly all done and ready to go.
Yeah. It's falling into another one of those. They want to release it at a Halloween time, which I get, but also they want to avoid losing money with the pandemic. Yep. And, you know, it's funny. You see that kind of stuff all over the place. So there's a, just as an example. So there's a game coming out called Cyberpunk 2077. And in the gaming world, this is huge. Like, this is the next one from CD Projekt Red. They're the ones who did the Witcher games. And so everybody is super stoked for this. Well, recently, they had to announce that they pushed the game back, and then they announced again that they pushed it back again. So now it's coming out December 10th. There are actually two game companies out there that had games releasing right about the same time, and they have pushed those back because they don't want to get crushed by Cyberpunk. They don't want their games to get buried while everybody is just engulfing themselves in Cyberpunk. So it's the same kind of thing here. Like, they have this Halloween movie. it's probably finished. You're right. They're probably going to be ready to go at any time, but they want to make sure that they get the most bang for their buck. So they're going to hold off until either it looks like the theaters are reopening or they have no choice.
Right. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens when theaters actually reopen again. Obviously we're having another uprising here in Maine of COVID. Numbers are doubling and it's the highest single day rates we've had since the start of the pandemic and on and on and on. And my kids' schools just went to red because of contractions at all the schools and everything. And
a lot of them in this area are.
So, like, all of Gardner's school districts just went to red. Every school. So
Halldale did as well, from what I understand.
Oh, they did? Yeah. So, it's just, I don't know, man. I want to be safe and do what we're supposed to do and stop the spread of this. But at the same time, like, how long is it going to take?
I know. This is still weird for me to say, so I'm going to say it, but it's still weird in my head, weird hearing the words come out of my mouth, but I'll say it anyway. So I was talking with my girlfriend the other night. Jesus, that feels weird. Love it. It's so weird, but I love it. We were talking the other night, and we both kind of laughed at the fact that we're like, we could not have picked a worse time to start dating. Like, between the pandemic and the fact that winter's coming on. Because, like, the one thing in the pandemic is – you could still go take a walk or take a hike or go sit out under the stars or go to the beach. And yet now it's winter. So literally we are fucked.
Oh yeah. I mean, there, you know, indoor activities have been reduced back down to 50 people because of the big outbreaks. Outdoors still 100, but you're right. This is Maine. Winter's coming. Yes, we do a lot of outside winter activities, you know, skiing, ice skating, snowmobiling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Neither one of us likes any of those, so.
Right, exactly. Only if you like that stuff. It's still fucking cold out, you know.
You know, we were talking, we were like, oh, we could go to a ski slope and sit inside, you know, and drink cocoa by the fire. But again, you don't want to be in the public. You don't want to be around other people. So we're, We had a good laugh about it. We're still going to make do the best that we can and have fun with it. But yeah,
realistically, your only options are to like get a hotel or rent a cabin for the weekend and go away for the weekend.
We've actually thrown both of those ideas out there.
Yeah, that's like kind of what you're limited to. Like, oh, we can rent a cabin and go away for the weekend and just, you know, bring a DVD player bring something so we can watch a movie together in the cabin, because you can't guarantee any hotel or place you go to is going to have any good television. So bring an HDMI cable and bring a way to connect to that TV so you can watch something.
Fun time.
Because we went to Vermont earlier in October.
What's that?
Speaking of pandemic. I said, when we went to Vermont in October, the hotel's TV sucked. The channel sucked. Nothing was on. Even though we had HBO and HBO 2, except for Spies in Disguise, it wasn't like we didn't find a movie. Oh, I can't wait to watch this. Like, it was just,
we're actually going to meet up Wednesday night. And the other night, I'm going way too deep into this, but anyway, it's open. So the other night we actually met up Halloween night, and we just met up in Waterville and we got a couple of Starbucks and we sat in my vehicle and we just talked. And then we drove down to the river and we looked out over the river and we just talked and enjoyed the full moon and enjoyed each other's company. We're going to do something similar on Wednesday, but I'm going to bring a pizza and my iPad, and I've got Palm Springs downloaded on it because she's never seen it. And we're going to sit in the vehicle and watch Palm Springs and eat pizza.
Well, you could go to Pride's Corner Drive-In this weekend. They're doing first movie is Toy Story, the original Toy Story. And and the second film is Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, nice.
But it starts at like 4:45.
I know, because between like winter hours and then the winter darkness and the daylight savings time just ending, you know, fuck.
So the first feature starts at like 4:45. So And it's supposed to actually be in like 65, like it's supposed to be in the 60s this weekend here, which is absurd. At least you can go outside for a while.
I was going to say, we plan to go down to the coast. So I'm glad that it's going to be in the 60s. This will probably be the last opportunity we get.
It probably will be.
What I was going to say is, speaking of the pandemic, the next trailer that I sent you, Songbird, is I don't know if it's directly related to this pandemic, but, you know, the synopsis says 4 years into quarantine, the virus has changed and so have we.
Well, it's COVID-23 is the virus in Songbird.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
I see that right here.
The virus, the courier races against time to save the woman he loves from a quarantine camp.
And for those listening, yes, COVID-19 is called COVID-19 because it was discovered in 2019. So this is COVID-23, probably discovered in 2023.
Exactly.
Hopefully nobody thinks that this is the 23rd iteration of COVID.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks very interesting. It looks like another one of these that like takes place entirely inside her apartment. Well, for the most part, inside her apartment through security cameras. And, you know, you got people that are coming because they hear that, you know, her elderly neighbor has a fever, so they're going to kill her. And yeah, looks scary, but cool.
Looks dark, a little close to home for some people, probably.
Mm-hmm. The next one was 2 Weeks to Live. Boy, this one looks like a selling point for HBO Max.
Yes, this looks really good. Yes, it does.
Maisie Williams and I'll never remember her name, but the sister from Fleabag is her mother, who basically kidnaps her because they're killers and she wants her to help her kill some guys. And Maisie wants to get out of the family business, I guess. And so she's talking to these people and she's like, what if you had 2 weeks to live? What would you do? And it looks like a fun series.
Yeah, it really does.
That's all I've got to say about that. The last one is barely a trailer. It was a 15-second teaser, but I had to send it to you today because it's Nicolas Cage in what looks like a Five Nights at Freddy's kind of thing.
Yes,
it's called it's Willy's Wonderland, and it's just 15 seconds of, all right, I'll watch this.
Yep. Yeah, that was the most teaserous teaser I've ever seen. Where really the only way to sum it up is, like you said, it looks like Nicolas Cage in like a in real life Five Nights at Freddy type thing.
Yep.
So
that's all the trailers. I got some news stuff.
Drop the news on me, sir.
Looks like Oscar Isaac might be playing Moon Knight for Marvel.
Yes, you sent me that. That does look great.
Netflix is creating a live-action Assassin's Creed TV series. Not a movie, but a TV series. And this could be fucking awesome. I'm really excited about this. I have lots of love for Assassin's Creed. And people pointed out very quickly that the music that they were playing on the little, it wasn't even a teaser. It was just basically the Assassin's Creed logo and they had a little music playing and they said coming soon. It sounds like Italian music that would probably be from the era of Ezio Auditore, which was the second protagonist. Most people would agree that the Ezio stories were the best Assassin's Creed stories. They took place during Leonardo da Vinci's days when the Catholic Church was really rising up. It was just beautiful, brilliant, and I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. Like, I'm not a video game fan, as you know.
Correct.
At least current video games, but this looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the synopsis you sent me on it and what I read about it, it sounds like it's going to be awesome. And from watching just video clips of the game itself, the game is cool. It's got a great story. So I could definitely be down for this.
Awesome. It's the top one that I'm looking forward to right now. Okay, this was weird. Do you remember the old Ginger Snaps movie?
Yep.
What about the girl, the werewolf?
Ginger Snaps 2, Ginger Snaps Back. What's the
girls
name?
Becoming Catherine werewolves. Isabel, is it? Yeah. Well, now it's going to be a TV series.
Really?
Yeah. Hold on. I put a link in here because I knew that this would be a weird one. Let me follow the link real quick. Come on. Yeah. Cult film to become series from Killing Eve producer, which is very interesting.
Okay.
Killing Eve producer Sid Gentle Films is joining forces with Copperheart Entertainment, producers of the Ginger Snaps trilogy, to present a television series adaptation of the cult classic teenage werewolf story, co-created and directed, co-creator and director of the original film, John Fawcett from Orphan Black, will executive produce, and Anna, my God, I don't know how to pronounce that, writing scripts for the potential project. Ginger Snaps tells the story of two outcast sisters, Ginger and Brigitte, in the mindless suburban town of Bailey Downs. On the night of Ginger's first period, she is savagely attacked by a wild creature. Ginger's wounds miraculously heal, but something is not quite right. Now Brigitte must save her sister and herself as well. I don't know.
The first movie came out.
When did it come out?
Was it 2000? And then they filmed the sequels back to back. But they did get Catherine Isabel in all of them, at least.
Yes.
But, yeah, really, the first one I watched, and that was decent. I really didn't watch two or three, so.
I'm just wondering who was the one that either pitched this or said, dude, we need to have this as a TV series. Like, where did this come up from?
Yeah, it doesn't seem... Yeah, no. Nope.
Moving on. So, you know how they've got that Animaniacs reboot coming up here on Hulu?
Yeah.
Now they're doing another reboot, which is called Tiny Toons Looniversity. So it's the Tiny Toons while they're in the Looniversity.
Okay.
So now they're older. I don't know if that'll be as cool. I always liked them as little guys, especially when, you know, the grown-up versions of them would come on, like Bugs Bunny and the Tasmanian Devil.
Yep.
So I don't know. That's a thing.
Okay.
This was sad news. Another show that was canceled. It was originally renewed for season two, but it was canceled because of the pandemic, and they just couldn't work around it. I'm not okay with this.
Oh no!
I know. I was bummed. I love that show. So, yeah, that one's not going to be. I sent you a link on this one. Hold on, real quick.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I liked it a lot, and they left it on that fucking cliffhanger with us. I really would like to see what they do next.
I know. It's the same thing with Teenage Bounty Hunters. Like, damn it, give us some kind of closure.
All right, what was the next thing?
I sent you this. Jordan Peele is remaking The People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, so that was like a movie I enjoyed a lot when I was a kid, and it's not that it didn't age well, it just, you know, watching it back as an adult, it's like, yeah, it's kind of cheesy, but I still like it. So Jordan Peele attacking it, I'm very curious how dark he's going to make it, because it was kind of campy dark before, but now it seems like super dark.
Yep. I think it'll be very interesting to watch that happen. Clive Barker is now signed on to be an executive producer for the upcoming HBO Max Hellraiser series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. I mean, you know, whenever you can get original talent in there from, I'm sorry, not original talent as in like unique, but as in the people who did the original stuff, then that's always good. And then the last thing for news that I have is about the Green Lantern series that's coming to HBO Max. It was revealed that the 10-episode inaugural season would focus on some of the lesser-known characters involved in the Spacefaring group. Now it's being reported that the show will take place in multiple timelines throughout the history of the Green Lantern Corps. The latest report comes from the Scoopers at Direct, who suggests the series will take place in the 1940s, 1980s, and present-day timelines. It's unclear if the timelines will converge at one point or another, or if they'll remain separate, and each follows a different plot thread throughout the series.
Okay.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that'll be good.
So, yeah, that's all the news that's fit to print, I guess.
I have nothing further to add on the news side.
Okay, that's good then.
Yo.
Mando.
Let's dive into to The Mandalorian, Chapter 9, The Marshal. So I was
Everybody,
very
you have been fairly warned that we are getting into this. So
yeah, we're gonna tell you, you know, everything. So you probably do want to turn this off if you don't want to hear it.
Yeah, there you go. Like not just straight up you want to turn this off, but
if you haven't watched season 2, episode 1, aka Chapter 9, The Marshal, then you should just go away.
Yeah.
So overall, okay. What did you think of this episode?
Overall, I love this episode. I was so happy to have this show back. What'd you think?
I was very excited to see this episode. I was very excited to have the show back. I really missed it. I watched all of the first season again before, you know, I watched it last month.
I did not, but they did good recap.
They did an excellent recap. I watched this episode twice. Because that's what I do.
Yep.
With this show. I watch it, and then I watched it Friday, and then I watched it today. I was very excited to watch this Friday. I tried to avoid the internet all day and wait to get out of work, wait for Kate to get out of work, and then everyone to go to bed. And then finally, I'm going to sit down and watch this and not be interrupted by kids or anything. I'm very, very excited. Full attention. So, Mando stops off to meet a criminal, Gore Koresh, because he allegedly knows where there's another Mandalorian, because his thing is he wants to find other Mandalorians to help him get the child back with his own kind.
Right, because he was told by the armorer that there was an ancient sorcerer race that they used to fight against.
Yep. So, so Koresh, you know, tries to kill Mando for his armor, because Beskar is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
And yes, doesn't succeed.
This was some of the reason that I love this show, and just watching the whole fight scene and watching him just take everybody apart, and then the way that he left Koresh.
Oh, yeah. He hangs him upside down from a lamppost, basically. And Koresh tells him that here there's rumors of another Mandalorian on Tatooine. And he's like, I was just on Tatooine. Was.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, fuck you, I've been there.
Yeah, I was just on Tatooine. He's like, no. He's in one of the outposts, da-da-da-da-da. He's in one of the small towns. And I loved how he shot out the lamppost and then left.
Yeah.
So I think Gore Koresh is gone, probably.
Yeah, because they were basically, we never saw what they were, but there were a lot of evil-looking things, snarling things in the darkness with red glowing eyes.
And it seems like they can only come at you from if you're in the darkness type of thing. So yep. I appreciated that quite a bit.
Yes.
So he heads back to Tatooine, and he meets up with Motto. Who's super excited to see the child again. So we got Amos Sedaris back on this.
Yep.
So it was great seeing her character back. And I loved it. She's like, hey, you droids, get away from him. You know he doesn't like droids. Well, no, you might as well let him work on it. Oh, well, go work on it. And then, of course, they break a hole. It's just fun, you know. And she helps him find the location of Mos Pelgo. And it's not shown on most maps, but they're able to show old maps and everything. So he heads there and he meets the town's marshal. Go ahead.
Now here's the thing. We on this podcast, everybody who is listening to this podcast knows a few things about us. And one of those things is that both of us unequivocally have huge man crushes on Timothy Oliphant.
Oh,
I am not ashamed of it at all.
Especially when he plays cowboy.
Yes. Yes, when he plays the cowboy type, I mean, everything that this guy does is amazing. He's fucking phenomenal. You know, from his turn as a villain in Live Free or Die Hard, which is underrated. It was not the greatest, but still, he really brought a lot to that role. To, you know, Santa Clarita Diet, Justify. I mean, the guy is amazing. We love Timothy Oliphant.
Yep.
This is another one of his top performances. Like, just the whole interaction between him and the Mandalorian, when he first is in the bar, you know, he's just like, yeah, let's have some drinks, and pours the drink. And he's just so calm about it. But he's Timothy Oliphant calm, like he was playing himself right there.
It's like he goes into the bar and he's like, there's a Mandalorian here. And he's like, what do they look like? He goes, they look like me wearing my armor. Oh, you mean the marshal? Who's the marshal? You know, and then you see the marshal standing there, and
Boba Fett's like, "Why don't you ask him yourself?"
Yeah, and you see the marshal standing there in Boba Fett's armor, and they're looking at each other, and then he starts to talk. Oh shit, that's Timothy Oliphant's voice. But is that him in the armor? Oh, I don't know. Is he just voicing the character? Ooh, like I got very ridiculous about it. And then he takes the helmet off, and I loved when he took the helmet off, and you see the Mandalorian be like, "What the hell?" You know, like his, yeah. Like we somehow saw him react, even though his face is completely covered. We saw his reaction and his body movement to him taking his helmet off.
Exactly. You could almost see, you could almost see his face twisting under the mask. Like, what the fuck?
And I just love the line of, well, when I saw you, I figured only one of us was going to walk out of this bar. So I thought, might as well have a drink first.
Yeah. But then he continues on because he goes, but then I saw that kid over there and I thought, well, maybe this guy's a little different.
Yeah. And he was wrong. Because Mando's me, like, you need to give me that armor back now. It needs to go back to, like, the sacred grounds and et cetera, et cetera. And the marshal's like, well, I need this armor to save this city. So I guess we are going to do this. And then they stand up to, like, square off. And then
he's like, are we going to do this now right here in front of the kid? And he's like, take it off or I'm taking it off. He's like, all right, I guess we're doing it now.
Yeah, he's seen worse. That's what he said about the kid. You just read the kid. He's seen worse.
Yeah.
And then the town starts to shake, you know? And I love Timothy Oliphant just puts his finger up like, hold on a moment. And he walks to the doorway. And then Mando walks to the doorway. And then you see, I'm just going to call him the Sand Dragon.
Crate Dragon.
Crate Dragon, thank you. Rolls through town and eats the monster and blah blah blah. I fucking loved it. And oh, and of course I love how he talks about how he got the armor off. We see the flashback of, you know, after the destruction of the second Death Star, and then the stormtroopers took off and they were a free city again. They weren't under occupation. And then the mining collective rolls in and starts blasting everybody because they're going to take over, make it a slave town. And he flees. And then he fucking finds the Jawas and he binds the armor off them. And he goes back to town and runs the miners out of town. That was fucking awesome.
Yes.
And that's where he, you know, we're up to here type of thing. And hold on.
Holding on.
Sorry, I had to clear my throat. And now we're up to here. And I love the scene where he says, all right, look, you help me kill the crate dragon, I'll give you this armor back. Because I can't do it by myself, and you're known to kill things real well.
Yeah.
And then they jump on their fucking steel horses, I'm going to call them, you know.
Speeder bikes.
They have the scene where they're riding the speeder bikes across the desert, like they're riding horses across, you know, across the plains or whatever. That conversation. Oh, it was so fucking good.
It was. It was great. And like you said, interspersed in there was the flashback of how he stole those crystals as he escaped the town. Yeah. He almost died out there. The Jawas picked him up and they're trying to offer him, like, they wanted those crystals. They're like, we need these crystals. So they're like offering him all this different stuff. Here's a droid. Here's this. And he's like, I want that armor. And that's where he got it from, like you said. So we get that whole thing. And then they get to the cave where he believes that the crate dragon sleeps, and they hear some roaring and some, you know, growling, and it's actually some sand dogs. And Mando just walks right out there and starts talking to the dogs, and they come up, and one of them is like patting it and rubbing its belly. Timothy Oliphant's just like, are you shitting me? What the hell? Because he speaks Tusken. And so he talks to the Tusken Raiders and basically says they want the crate dragon dead too. You know, they're willing to help us if we're going to kill the crate dragon. Timothy Oliphant's like, no, I don't want their help. They're assholes. They raid our town. They take our banthas. You know, we don't need their help. And he's like, yeah, we do. You know, two of us against, it's not going to work. So they go and they scope out the cave. You know, this is where he actually sleeps. And they they talk about how
there's no empty Sarlacc cave. Well, there's when you eat the Sarlacc.
Exactly. Which, again, awesome throwback. And, you know, one of the things that we need to touch upon here is that the armor that he is wearing is clearly Boba Fett's armor. And this is the character from the novels that this was his character. You know, he was the marshal of this town wearing Boba Fett's armor that he got off the Jawas. So this was pulled directly from the novels, which is awesome because all of this is now fully canon. Like this is because the Mandalorian is canon. It is Star Wars canon.
Yep.
So they talk about how the Tuskens basically feed the crate to make it sleep longer. You know, they give him a bantha so that he'll be full and he won't come out and terrorize them as much. So they go to feed him the bantha. Well, he takes a Tusken instead. And they're like, oh, shit. OK, it's going to take more than just us. So I love how, you know, they're talking about that. And Timothy Olyphant's getting all indignant. And he's like, you know, drink the stuff. I don't want to drink the stuff. And he's like, just drink the stuff. And he's like, so they're going to help us? Well, yeah, they said we need more people. Well, how are we going to do that? Oh, I just volunteered your town. You what?
Yeah, where did those reinforcements come from? I volunteered your town. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they look like chocolate chips, but they were basically just like, that's not to scale. Yeah, that's to scale. No, that can't be to scale. I think I've seen it. He's like, no, trust me, it's to scale.
But I like when they go back to town and basically the town folks are like, we're not going to work with those, you know, with the Tusken Raiders, with the Sand People, whatever you want to call them, you know, together. We're not going to work with them. That's not going to happen. And basically, you know, Oliphant's character there, Banth, he's like, look, this is what we need to do. He can kill almost anything, but he says we can't do it together, and we need to do it together. And basically, you know, the Mandalorian says, look, they've agreed that if you help them and we work together and we kill this, Tusken's promise never to harm this town again unless they're provoked by somebody in this town.
Yeah, it was beautiful the way that he said it. He was like, they will never attack another one of your town members until you shoot one of them first.
Yes. Yep.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, if you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. They were basically saying, we know that you're going to be the ones to strike first. We will not, but we know that it's coming. Yeah. So we won't attack you until you attack us because we know you will. It was kind of a middle finger moment, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was. It was excellent. And, of course, so they get all the weapons together. They get all the bombs together. They head out. They lure the crater dragon out. Greater crate dragon out. And we get a great scene of them trying to defeat this dragon, and they can't kill it, and their first trap isn't working. And so Mando comes up with a secondary trap, and on and on and on. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, they kill the dragon. And we see the Tuskens finding the pearl in the dragon. You know, you see Banth giving him the armor back to the Mandalorian like he said he would. They part ways as friends. And it's pretty fucking awesome. And this show has a way of going, oh, he's here for this, but here's his curveball. It's not really another Mandalorian. It's some guy wearing Mandalorian armor. In fact, it's Boba Fett's armor. Here's another curveball. There's this big bad dragon we have to stop. You know, he's really, this is a Western. It's like, have gun, will travel. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
like,
is.
Yeah. Have gun, will travel, reads the card of a man. You know what I mean? Like, it's what it is. And it just, I know so many people that I've talked to about this who were so afraid that the second season wasn't going to be as good as the first season because the first season, like, John Favreau did it and Disney left him alone. And then now it was so popular. Now the second season, they want to put their hands in it because, you know, they want to fuck with it for merchandising reasons, or they want to fuck with it for this reason or that reason. And there's so many people that I spoke to were just so afraid that Disney was going to somehow fuck up this show because they were going to put their hands in it too much and not let John Favreau and company just do what they did to make the first season so awesome.
Right.
And I got to say, so far, this first episode. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So far, so good. This show is awesome still. And now, of course, the big reveal at the end.
I was waiting. I was like, if he doesn't say something, I'm going to reach through the phone and slap him.
No, no. The big reveal at the end, some guy watching them from a distance flow away, and he turns around, and now, is it Boba Fett? Is it Jango? Is it just a Jango Fett clone? Who do you think it is?
I think it's Boba, because the lack of hair and the scars on his face would be indicative of, you know, being digested partly in the Sarlacc stomach. They wouldn't give us Boba Fett's armor on Tatooine with a dead Sarlacc. Like, they wouldn't point all the clues there and then be like, no, this is just some other clone trooper. Like, remember that the clone troopers were not bounty hunters. They were clone troopers. So, correct. You know, Boba was the one exception because he was an unaltered clone of Jango Fett. Jango was the one who wore the Mandalorian armor. Yeah. I don't know if he ever established if he was actually Mandalorian or not, but anyway, he had the armor and he took his helmet off all the time. So, yeah, I can honestly say I'm 99.9% sure that is Boba, because they would not put all this evidence there and then be like, oh, but we're just kidding, it's somebody else.
So it's the same actor that played Jango in episodes 2 and 3.
Yep.
And some Boba Fett, and as the Boba Fett and the re-release of Empire, but there was it to Tamora Morrison or something like that. So it's the same actor, which is always awesome when they do stuff like that. And I think it's Boba Fett. I don't think it's just a Jango Fett clone. I definitely think it's Boba Fett. And absolutely. I have a lot of people, I've talked to a few people, my son included, who's like, I really hope it's not Boba Fett, but I look, because Boba Fett was killed and Boba Fett was eaten by the, I'm like, but we didn't see him die. Well, he burped his helmet out. So what? He burped his helmet out. We didn't see him die. We don't know he didn't survive inside. We just watched Mando go inside the Krayt Dragon and come out of it alive.
Yeah. And the Krayt Dragon ate the Sarlacc. So
right, the Krayt Dragon was spitting out fucking acid at people.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nasty.
That was nasty.
But it was cool that it wasn't just like a big worm. Like, he actually had tactics. He went up to the top of that hill so that he could get the drop on them.
And sprayed down on them. Yeah, exactly. So I just, because, you know, I don't know if we've ever talked about this. If we have, I can't remember. Your thoughts on them bringing Palpatine back for The Last Jedi. Or Rise of Skywalker, I mean.
Yeah.
Were you pissed about that? Did you not care? Do you think they explained it well enough? I mean, what were your thoughts on that? Because that's the comparison I've had some people making to it, is them bringing back Boba Fett, some like bringing back Palpatine. I'm like, no, 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 fucking no. That's not even close, in my opinion.
So I have mixed thoughts on Palpatine. Ultimately, I understand why they did it, but I still, like, it was such a redemptive moment for Vader to throw him down the shaft that it kind of undoes some of that to say, oh no, they recovered his body and he's, you know, broken, but he's still alive. I also get the other aspect of it, that he was so strong in the dark side of the Force, and there were so many things in the expanded universe that talked about, you know, Darth Plagueis and using necromantic type arts to keep their bodies alive or reanimate their bodies. So I get where they were going with it. I'm definitely of multiple minds on that one.
But I don't think bringing back Boba Fett is anywhere to the same level of them bringing back Palpatine. I think I have no issues with them bringing back Boba Fett, because again, yes, he fell into the Sarlacc, but that doesn't mean he died. He just fell in and we didn't see him again. He fell in with his weapons. There's no way we don't know that he didn't blast his way out somehow.
And so. I completely agree with that. And here's the other thing is, you know, again, we'll go to the expanded universe. That was one of the first things that was done in the expanded universe, was that Boba Fett got out of the Sarlacc, you know, and he was badly damaged. And so this is something that a lot of people have thought for a long time. Like, he's Boba Fett. He could get out of that. If anybody could get out of that, he has a rocket pack, or, you know, he could do this. You know, they all took off from the Sarlacc area before he was in there. They said that he was going to be digested over 1,000 years. Like, come on. He was in there for like 5 seconds.
Exactly. You get it.
I do.
I get it.
I'm definitely team bring back Boba.
So I'm pretty happy with this one. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm looking forward to episode 2. So
chapter 10. I'm looking forward to it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see here. They're all laid out. Even Thanksgiving Friday, they got the new episode posted. So we're talking Mando every week through December 18th. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I am too, honestly. I'm very excited about it. And it's just, I was so excited to see it come back. And it's such a, it's something I look forward to a lot.
Yes.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
I would be underselling it if I said it's such a good show. It's just what I really love watching right now. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, I guess that's it for me then tonight. You got anything more?
No, I think that's about it for me too.
Okay. Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's the show.
We'll talk to you later.